98.1 KZE on the line with me from, are you from California, Jim? Are you calling from California?
Actually, I'm on the road headed to Homer. We're beginning our tour. I actually live in Tennessee nowadays, which is where my grandfather used to live. My parents were all on the mother's side. We're all from Texas, Tennessee, and so I kind of feel more comfortable. I was born in California.
Got to, yeah, the California number threw me for a loop.
Yeah, I was born in California, raised in Texas, and then back when in sixth, seventh grade, they moved back to California. But I've been in, that's my adulthood. I've been to California with my career.
Well, we are delighted to have you coming through town. Of course, Jim Messina is my guest, a legendary musician, songwriter, producer, coming to Daryl's House Club in Pawling on Sunday, March 3rd, this coming Sunday. Have you been to Daryl's House before?
I have. We were there about, maybe a year ago or a little bit more, and it was a lot of fun. What a great audience. They just, because my music is so diverse, from having been in Buffalo, Springfield, Poco, and Loggins and Messina, from folk music to country music to rock to classical, even the Latin jazz and my solo stuff. It's been nice having audiences that come and like to hear that diversification.
Yeah. I was going to ask, is that so? You pull a little bit of everything from your entire repertoire when you play live these days.
I do. I start out acoustically, kind of like the way Kenny and I did back in the old days, and I start off with songs like, Watching the River Run and House at the Corner, Danny song, making it be some of the early L&M stuff. And then I moved through that up into some of the Poco stuff, You Better Think Twice. Dusty Young sat in on one of the albums that I have out called In the Groove, which was a live album. And on that album, he played You Better Think Twice. We on that album, we actually did Kind Woman and Child's Claim to Fame and stuff. But I had him sit in on some of the Loggins Messina stuff because the question was, gee, what would it sound like? What would I have done if I stayed in Poco another couple of years? I recorded a song called Listen to the Pantry Song in Loggins Messina as well as Holiday Hotel. And of course, Listen to a Country Song was a big hit for Lynn Anderson back in the day. So we're going through that part of my life, the country rock, and then I had a song recorded by Brooks and Dunn called Mexican Minutes, which I've now added to my set just to kind of, I want to get into doing more of my solo work. So but I do things from, once we move through the country stuff, we do things from, for instance, my solo album, which is more Latin jazz, Do a Different Way, which I think you have a copy of, Loving You Every Minute. And then we start moving to songs like Be Free, which is more classically oriented with the mandolin and that type of arrangement. And of course, Angry Eyes changes, and a song called You Need a Man. And then there's a new one there called She's Got a Rock, which I sent you.
Yeah.
Which is fun. The audiences love that. I take them through my whole history musically. And it's a lot of fun because I'm enjoying the fact that after, 50 years or so, people still love the music, and getting a lot of younger audiences in their 30s and 40s who are enjoying it. So that's what it's about. No one ever said that we would be, big stars, or that's never been my goal, is to be a rock star. My goal has been to enjoy performing and creating. I thought I was going to be a producer. I never thought I'd ever be a musician again after my first band was when I was 13 in high school, so I played all through high school. That's how I supported myself, being able to buy a car and insurance, because we weren't of a wealthy family. So for me, music has always been a way to survive and do what I love to do. And at 76, I'm still doing what I love to do.
Yeah, and you still love it? It's still fun for you?
Absolutely. I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it more now. It was wonderful to have the great successes and playing the, the 50,000-60,000 seat rooms, and financially it's good and all that stuff, but it really takes on your soul to do those kinds of events, night after night after night.
Mm-hmm.
The stress that's involved, I think by the time I finish with long as Messina, I could barely digest food. Mm. It took me a couple of years just to get back to being normal and be able to acclimate. And so I, while I enjoy the larger parts of success, I must say I'm really enjoying playing with this group of musicians I have who, they're all very seasoned. I've got Jack Bruno on drums now, who worked with Tina Turner. Mm. He was also with Delbert McClinton and also Joe Cocker in the early days. So he's just a great player, has played all styles. And I've got Messina for 2005, 2009, fabulous sax player, percussionist, and singer, along with James Frazier on keyboards now. I don't have the violin any longer. Mm. It's one of those things where I needed to financially make a decision. If I'm going to do more of my solo work, I need a keyboard player because all of my solo works had keyboards on it.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and added James as a singer. And then I have a young guy named Ben King on bass. He's about my son's age, 32. And he's an old soul that's just... it's just a great team. We really enjoy working together. And I think as a musician at this point in my life, to have people around me and surround me that are just great folks, good players, they're not into drugs or doing crazy stuff. There's no chaos. It's fun to be around. We're constantly sending funny text messages back to one another, even when we're not working. So
that's the best.
I think moving to Tennessee into an area where there was, it's really about music, the whole state's about music and musicians. It's very, very comfortable place to find great people who love to write and love to play.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was poking around on your website, and I found out that you're also a visual artist. You make some really beautiful paintings. Is that something you've always done,
you.
Or is that more of a recent hobby?
You know, my mother was a painter, and my grandmother was a painter. They worked back in Texas for a company called Brock's, and they painted all the roosters on the pottery. So I grew up with, you know, the smell of turpentine and paint in my bedroom, and they, you know, growing up. And I think after a while, I dated a lady who was a painter, and she was pretty shy and didn't like to do much but paint. And so I started hanging out with her, and before I knew it, we'd go on painting trips together and put our paints and our materials in a Volkswagen van again, and we would just take a road trip and go up into the gold country and maybe sit for 3 or 4 days and paint. And it inspired me because I realized that getting back in touch with a part of me that I guess was always there. So as time went on, our relationship changed, but I continued to paint. And I went from watercolor to acrylics. And I started a series called Etas Pueblo, which the idea was to see if I could just, one of my teachers said, you limit your palette to a point to where it becomes something, distinguished.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I didn't realize what that meant. So I chose to three colors, to put in a painting, and that was all that would be in it. When I looked at the Taos Pueblo, I figured, well, I gotta have the color of that mud for sure, because that's mm-hmm. what the Pueblos are made of. And then, of course, you've got to have that wonderful blue sky. And then I started realizing that what was unique about the Pueblo is that everybody had a different color door. Some might be red, one might be turquoise or purple. So I chose those three colors, and then I used titanium white and Payne's gray as shadows to lighten those colors. The shadow, where the shadows need to be, and suddenly I just went, whoa, it looks like there's all the colors of the rainbow here, but there's only three, and it's just really kind of fun to experiment with that kind of creativity.
Yeah, that's awesome, and I think you have some paintings on display at the Van Gogh exhibit in Nashville right now, right?
I did. We just recently pulled them. We're going to try and find another venue to get them into. I've just been so busy getting the new group, the new album together. I haven't had much time to focus on that, but I would like to try to find another gallery. I'm looking maybe perhaps in New Mexico would be a wonderful place if I could find a gallery to show some of my stuff. You know, it's interesting. That's a business, and people don't realize it, but boy, they want you to, it's almost like the old record business. Yeah, we'll put your stuff up here, but we're going to take 50% of everything you do, and you got to give us a certain amount of paintings every year, and, you know, I just, well, I do this for the love of it, not to get fooled or sucked into it, but
yeah.
That's the way things work sometimes. So I have to wait till I can find a gallery who would just like to show them for fun and not, you know, for profit. I don't think, you know, I have a professional friend who's a painter, Scott Jacobs. He makes hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. But, you know, when I look at what he does, he's traveling as much as a rock and roller. What he's constantly on a ship, he's constantly being shipped around the world, and you know, he sits for 2 or 3 days and signs autographs and then back on the boat again, and you know, he's got a lot of demand. It takes a lot of time and effort, and I can see, you know, again, he's telling us sometimes they're taking 50% or 70% of his stuff.
Yeah,
but it's hard. It's a business, and it's hard work, and I've learned to appreciate, especially through Scott, how difficult it is to become not only well-known, but the amount of effort he puts into his paintings are so detailed. You would probably know some of his stuff. I mean, he does Harley Davidson's artwork for years, you know, motorcycles and things like that. And his daughter is just incredibly talented as he is. It's so beautiful to see his girls grow up from little girls to suddenly becoming fabulous artists like he is. So it's a job, you know. It's kind of like touring every night.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, you know, you didn't want to keep doing the stadium thing. It was taking such a toll on you. So I can imagine the thought of being like a major commercial artist is probably not super appealing either.
No. I think at some point in time we do have to start enjoying life, and it's enjoyable to go out. You know, we'll play anywhere from, you know, 200 to 300 seat venues to maybe 1,200, and depending on the popularity and the people who show up, that's what you get. And but it's been getting, as I've been out on the road more, the audiences are starting to come a lot more. I think now that they realize that I'm out there and I've got a great agency who's helping me, they want to come see the music. And now that Kenny's retired, of course, the only L&M stuff you're going to get would be, you know, for me. So we're starting to come out. People are, by the time I start my set with Watching the River Run, the audiences are all singing the lyric. I can almost sit down and just play and let them do the work.
Yeah, but that's not what they're there for, right?
I hope not. The next thing you know, I'll have to be passing out W-4 forms to pay them for singing, right?
Jim Messina is my guest. He's coming to Daryl's House Club in Pawling on Sunday the 3rd. Such a great intimate venue to see music, and the sound is always so good there, too.
That's great to know, because that's part of what I want to, you know, I bring my own sound guy so that we make sure the music is not too loud. I don't like loud music when I've gone to see artists that I find that are special that I haven't seen in a long time, and the engineers play it so damn loud, I have to either back off to the back or sometimes walk out because it's too painful to listen to.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, it sounds like it's going to be an incredible night of music. Do you do a little bit of storytelling in between songs, too, or you just play straight through?
Yeah, you know, I don't like to do that, but my agency said a number of years ago, people want to hear from you. So, I usually tell a little story or two about some of the songs or how they were written and, you know, maybe who recorded them. Or sometimes I tell stories about, people will ask about, you know, what was it like working with the Buffalo Springfield? And you know, the short and long of it is that they were great cats to work for, but they were like herding cats whenever I tried to get them in the studios.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one going one direction, one going the other. It wasn't easy, but we got the music made.
Yeah, always did. Jim Messina is my guest. He's got new music coming out soon. He's playing at Daryl's on Sunday. And Jim, I just appreciate you taking the time so much.
My pleasure. And looking forward to seeing some of those same faces there this coming week.